Morning. Praise the Lord. Great. Wow, it's great to be here. Praise God. Wow, is that Mary LaFlame? Wow, good to see you. Is that Don Fisher over there? Don, you want to stand up for a second? Not really? You haven't changed. There he is, the Ohio Bullet right there. Yes. So good to have Bob. Bob and Don came out for the weekend. Great to have you guys. Don, are you going to share tonight? It's up to me. That's a change of attitude. That's amazing. Hey, good to see everybody. A little warm-up for us. Luke 2, verse 7. Turn there, please. Luke chapter 2, Christmas. Turn to your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. Practice it a little bit. Merry Christmas. Isn't that beautiful? How many love Christmas time? I love it. Oh, wow. When I was a child, I loved it so that I could get presents. And then when I grew up, I love it because I can get presents. Nothing's changed. Okay, Luke 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. All right, so we know this text probably pretty well because we hear it every Christmas season, and that there was no room for them in the inn. And of course, the question is, can you, with your person sitting with you, your friend or your wife or a neighbor sitting here with you, remember that joke? The pastor said, talk with your neighbor about this, and the person said, my neighbor is not in this church. Okay, talk to your neighbor. My neighbor's not here today. Okay, so neighbor meaning the person next to you. There's no room for him in this world. Like he's outside. He's outside. Does he belong? Where does he belong? And where does he fit? Where is he received? And can you make a list of those places that he's not welcome? You know, Jesus, find your own place. Because here's a short list. In the palaces of government, is he welcome? That's a good answer, thank you. How about in good society? Do any of you know what good society is? Have you ever been in it? Never been there? We don't know what it is. Is he welcome at the country club? Is he welcome in the rich man's club, the yacht club? Is he welcome in the garden party? Is he welcome on Wall Street? The markets, and do they have prayer? Do they worship Jesus on Wall Street? Is he welcome? There was no room for him. And can you make a list where you have seen at the workshop, the factory floor, you've seen in your family, you've seen at the barbecue, you've seen at the garden party, you've seen is he welcome in the NFL? Is there an official place for Jesus at the NFL? Along the sidelines is a big, big words, you know, Jesus Christ. Is there a place for him? How about in the Sanhedrin? Was he welcome? With the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Essenes, different groups. Is he welcome there? Is he welcome, here's a good one, in our general conversation when we just are talking about life Is he there? For Miriam, he is welcome, and I think for many of us. Thank you, Lord. How about at the university, in the classroom? Is he welcome? Okay. Why not? Why isn't he welcome? Why? Here's I'm going to have you turn to the person next to you and make up a list and just think about it. And also consider, yes, there is a room for him. And that's our message today. There is a room for him. Where is it? It's in our heart. Yes, there is. God gave me a new heart, and it's his home. He dwells in us. He is in our hearts. Yes, we have place for him. And when we are in this world, they don't have place for him. But we are in the world. That means somehow he is here, because we are here. But we have to be honest, sometimes we struggle. And even we have no place for him. So talk with your neighbor and just say, no, we have place for him. Okay. Okay, praise God. Amen. Would you, could the AV put the picture up on the screen? All right, I want to show you a picture. Let's see, you're still standing, you're gradually sitting down. Okay, you all may be seated. All right, so praise the Lord. Well, here we are in God's house, Christmas time. We're going way back in history, way back to the time of Numbers, the time of Moses, with a prophet who was not from God, but the Holy Spirit used him to say something about these people that came out of Egypt. When the Jews came out of Egypt, they didn't have anywhere to go, except God knew where to bring them, and that was to where? Where did he want to bring them to China? How about Latin America? Where did he want to bring them? Into Canaan, the promised land. Land of milk and honey, water. Water. In the Middle East, water is gold. Water. You know, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, down to the Dead Sea. All right, so these people are on the east side. If you have your geography, some of you do. Anyway, it's wilderness there, desert, like arid, dry, mountainous region. There was a king there. His name was Barak. And he hired a man, Balaam, to curse Israel. So we have a picture of how the king of Moab didn't like these people. He didn't want them. He didn't want them. There was no place for Jesus in the inn. Why? It's more than accommodation and practical. It's they don't want him. We don't want the Jews in Moab. There have been through history times when with demonic force to try to get rid of the Jewish people. The book of Esther is a good example. So they have come out, and there's about 2 million of them. And here we have a picture, a artist's picture of the tribes. In the center is the tabernacle where God meets the people. The Levites are camped around. There you have the 12 tribes, and you have... And this king said, I cannot fight with them militarily, but because I know of the powers of darkness, we could curse them. You know, in our world, we don't really think a lot about cursing. We don't go around to curse people, but it's a very real thing. There is demonic power, a witch or a sorcerer, a dark person may have the authority to curse. And in other parts of the world, that's a part of their culture, and they know that. But we don't really live in that so much because we live in a Christian country, and we don't give any attention to it. We have God, thank you, Lord, and we walk in our blessing, not curses, but in blessing. We are blessed with all spiritual blessing. We've been given the name of God. This is how we live. So we are like spiritual Jews. We don't replace these people. That's called replacement theology. If the church was to replace them, no. They are very real people, earthly chosen people, the sand of the sea. But we are like the stars of heaven. We are the heavenly. They have earthly promises with the promise of a coming kingdom and a coming Messiah. So that's the context. Where I want to go with our message conceptually goes like this. We have 1500 BC, approximately, when Balaam is asked to curse them. We have the prophets, many messengers, many manifestations. We have Jesus, we have the period of time we're in now, and then we have a tribulation period, then we have millennium, 1,000 years, and then we have a new era where light, and this is about light. So let's go to the end of our Bible and read about light. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 20, chapter 21 and verse 22. This is in the city. Which city? You can talk back to me. The New Jerusalem. Where is it? It's in heaven. Is it there today? Yes. The angel said to John, do you want to see? Do you want to see the bride? And he showed him the city in Revelation 19. What was in the city? What is the city? Verse 22. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. God himself is in that city. Is God light? Yes, we know in the scripture, 1 John 1:5, God is light and no darkness at all. Here's a good question. In the beginning in our Bible, we read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and he, God, said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. But here's the question. Was there light before he created light? God is light. God is light, right? So God is light. Yeah, but then when he made light, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Was it the same as he himself? It was a creation of light. This is, we have physical light. We know about light, sun, stars, moon, lamps, incandescent lamps, LED light bulbs, etc. We have light, we know about light, but this is physical light. But is there a light that is like, so to speak, behind it, like light, God's light, apparently? And this city is filled with that light. Now look at, read it with me, verse 22. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. for the glory of God did lighten it. What does that mean? It had no need for that light that we are so familiar with, this physical light, because it was lighted by another light that was God. God was the light thereof. God is the light of that city. That's a spiritual light, a light that does not diminish, does not burn out. There's no shadows. It says that here. Let's read it, verse 25, is it? Verse 24. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No night there. Now look up at our diagram here of our history. There is a time when the universe as we know it is natural light. Okay, natural. This is the world that we live in. There is the daytime and there is the nighttime. There is a day coming when there'll be no night. Why? Because it'll be God. God is there. There is no night. There are no shadows. Look at Revelation 22. And where are we? Revelation 22. Yeah, verse 5. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Okay, that's enough. I think you understand. When Jesus came into the world, the scripture says in him that he is light, but the world was in darkness, and the world comprehended him not. Comprehended him not. So we have light that is spiritual and darkness that is spiritual. And this is the world we live in today. If you go back to that picture, please, the artist's rendition of Balaam cursing, he was to curse. We have darkness cursing the Jews, light. That was what was, he was hired to do that. But he couldn't do it. God would not allow him. And so he ended up giving a prophecy. And in his prophecy, he gave four messages, Balaam. Because when the king, when he told the king, I cannot curse them, I cannot curse them, they are blessed. So the king didn't give up. He said, let me bring you to another part of another mountain. And from another mountain, you look at them. Maybe there you can curse them. And so he brought him to another mountain and for curse, but he couldn't. He just still blessed them. This is a fundamental contest in life. It's the fact we are living in a dark world, but there is light. But men love darkness rather than light. But by God's grace, it happened to us. This is amazing. But by God's grace, we were able to see and understand that there are certain reasons for it. Because in a dark world, there are very fundamental things missing. I've got three as a list, a short list. Three fundamental things that are missing in a dark world. And we want to get to that in a minute. I hope I can get to show this to you. Turn to Numbers now. Go back 1,500 years. The city is going to come here. the city, the New Jerusalem. I was soul winning up in Havre de Grace one day this past summer, and I met this man at his door one night. We were knocking on doors, and he was a tough old guy, real tough old veteran I think he was a World War II veteran, old guy, tough as nails. And even on his door, said, if you couldn't get in a firefight with, you know, like with Airborne 82, and then don't even knock on my door. I mean, the guy was tough. And I was with another brother, and I'm like thinking, you know, you want to knock on that door? Let's go. It'll be fun. Let's see what happens. The guy came out, you know, no T-shirt on, you know, some spaghetti sauce over here, you know, a couple tattoos, his hat on, his World War II veteran hat. He was the sweetest guy. He was awesome. And he said that he had lost his wife, and she had passed some years before. And he said to her, "I'll meet you at the South Gate." You know, so that stuck in my heart. "I'll meet you at the South Gate." So I went home and told my wife that. I go, if I go first, I'll meet you at the South Gate, you know. So anyway, the city, that should be in our minds, in our hearts. The city, we're going to a city. We're going. It's beautiful. But before we get there, where there'll be no shadow, you know, there'll be no half lie, no gray areas. That's what we call a shadow is another word, a gray area. Oh, that's a gray area. Well, in heaven, there aren't any gray areas. It's just clear light from God and truth. And that's beautiful. Until then, we have a star. And this is Numbers 24. This is one of the prophecies of Balaam, who could not help but say these words, verse 17. "I shall see him." His eyes were open. He was in a trance. He said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob." So this is our Christmas story, the star. What is a star? It's like a pinpoint of light. You can't read by the stars. You can't find your way by the stars. You can in navigation. But as far as it's not enough light, you better live with the stars. It's not enough light. But it is enough for what God wants to say here. That the star of Jacob, and a scepter in verse 24 or 17, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Scepter is the royalty or the authority of the king by way of the staff or the scepter that shall rise out of Israel. A king will come out of Israel, a star. It doesn't look like it's a lot, but it's the star of Jacob. And he will come and destroy his enemies. But in this picture, you can go back to the picture. In this picture, it doesn't look like we have a king here. It doesn't look like they have that authority. But from those people comes a Messiah and a scepter. And we read in our New Testament that when Jesus came, he was light. He was light to people. But you could also live in your darkness. But if you live in your darkness, there are three things that you don't have. And I want to read to you one of them here. of the 21, let's turn to Matthew 2. I think that'll be before I read that. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." What do you mean? There's two things there. King, scepter, and star of Jacob. Wait. 1,500 years earlier, go back to the picture, please. We have this man saying, from these people is the star of Jacob, the star. Enough, the light that the wise men followed, they followed it to Jerusalem, and then it was gone. We have seen his star. They were led to Jerusalem, and then they have to ask the questions in Jerusalem, where is the king of the Jews? The star and the scepter. We know that Herod was troubled by this. Herod, all Jerusalem was troubled when they heard about this. These men that came, these authorities that came. But they seemed to know more about what was really going on in God's plan than the natives. That happens. I remember being in Paris and wanting to see the Eiffel Tower and how many Parisians could care less about it. Have you seen the Eiffel Tower? It's like, oh, I don't know, it's over there. I don't know, never seen it. Or, you know, I've seen it, but, you know. Yeah, but to me it means something. Outsiders, wise men, the Eiffel Tower isn't the point. To illustrate the point that sometimes when people are very close to something, they can miss it. What is going on? What is Christmas? What does it mean? It means that there was a star of Jacob, that in this group of people is the Messiah. And listen, in our New Testament, we are told that he's going to come and a sword out of his mouth will destroy the enemies. What enemies? The darkness, the lies. And by the way, as Americans, it seems like we have hit a new place in our culture and in our society. As Americans, we are like shocked. We're like amazed that people can have such ideas and propagate them and be very arrogant about what it is that they are saying and believing. And the hypocrisy of leaders and the lack of these three things. Here we go now. He goes, of the 21 great civilizations that have existed on our planet, I don't know if he's a sociological professor who studied these different cultures, said that ours, out of 21 civilizations, ours, our Western world, is the first one that does not have or teach its citizens any answer to the question why they exist. Why are we here? By the way, that's a good question to ask on the street. Why are you here? Not what. We're very good at what. What is a tree? And the material on what is a tree is like documents this thick. What is a tree? I can tell you everything about a tree. But then ask, why is a tree? Why is there a tree? Human beings, we know all about what, but why? Why are we here? The universe, all kinds of what, but why? Our culture is empty when it comes to why. And we just walk around like doing our duty and going through our motions in darkness. It's a kind of darkness. And when the wise men were looking, they followed the star. And I want to say, and I want you to understand me in the right way, the star led them, and somehow they lost their, but they came to Jerusalem, and they said, "We have seen a star. We're looking for the King of the Jews." Where do they read about that? The King of the Jews, the Davids, the seed of David, would be on a throne. Balaam's prophecy, the scepter, the star. And Herod is troubled. Look at verse 3, please. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Let's think about his trouble. Did he sleep at night? Is he jealous? You know, he had a very huge ego. He was a very terrible man. He was very tough. He was a huge engineer, builder, brilliant man in many ways, but he was a human being nevertheless, and very troubled. Is there competition? Is there another king? I've been appointed by Rome. There is no king of the Jews. We are the kings of the Jews. We are the ones in charge. He is troubled. This might have made a big impact on him. He was troubled. Whenever light comes to darkness, there is trouble. Whenever you bring up Jesus in a conversation, or Jesus in your lifestyle, or conviction about truth, there will be trouble. And it says in verse 3, and he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Then they sent him, the wise men told him, Micah 5:2, and they left to go to Bethlehem, and then the star appeared again. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. What kind of light was that? Is that the same light, the spiritual light that will fill the city in heaven? Is that the Shekinah glory light that led the Jews out of Egypt? Was that the light that led them to Bethlehem? The star of Jacob led them to the scepter. And what did they see when they saw the babe in the manger? They saw light in a human body. Must have been a beautiful atmosphere in that stable, or in that manger, in that cave. We've been in Bethlehem. We've seen these kind of places, the cave and the ground, the top of the actual geological formation. We've been there. We've been, it's a very interesting area, and you can see, and the tour guide tells you, and you have your Bible, and you can read it and think about it. It must have been beautiful to have the shepherds there. They came with a message from the angels that they sang and told them to go and see the babe, to see Jesus with his own community. But the world is sleeping in darkness, and they're very troubled by the news. But there in that atmosphere, there's the anointing, there's the presence, there is the promise of the light that will lighten your heart. And that's what happened to us when we were born again. When we were born again, this spiritual light came into our spirit, like at Pentecost. And we were given something that's from heaven, Jesus said, I am from above, you are from below. I am from heaven. My Father sent me that you would not live in darkness, but you'd have the light of life. I've been sent. Now, we are waiting for a fuller manifestation, but to be honest, what we have today is very satisfying. Yes, look at this up on our screen here. We have this light in our hearts. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 19. Would you turn there with me, please? Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. This is a comparison to the voice they heard on the mount when the Father spoke from the cloud and said, this is my Son, hear him. And Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. This is incredible that this would be written this way. What do you mean, Peter? A more sure word. We have Isaiah. We have what Balaam said. We have what David said, what promised. We have what Micah said. We have the Bible. We have many words, light, stars, so to speak. You could say lights that are through history regarding this Christ that would come. Yeah, we've not followed any lie. We were at the Museum of the Bible, the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. yesterday with 21 students, and we went through five floors of that building for 4 hours reading and looking at different exhibits, and we're very touched and exercised in how unique the Bible is and the history of it and the message of it. Part of what I'm saying today is coming from that time yesterday. How unique the Bible is, how great the light is that has come into this world. It's a sure word of prophecy. Words. Well, what does it mean? Look at verse 19. It says, whereunto you do well that you take heed. That's what you are doing this morning. It will change your life and my life. It'll be a sure word that we do well if we take heed. And even Balaam, many years ago, said in the first speech that he gave, he said, I want to die the death of the righteous. I want to be a righteous man. But he wasn't. That prophecy that he gave was more like a pipe, water flowing through a pipe. It just goes through the pipe without changing the pipe. You know, it just is a message that comes through. Something like Adolf Hitler could read the Bible and the Bible would be true, but he is not. Like an evil man can read the Bible and say the truth, but it doesn't mean that that man's life is changed. Right? Like you could say the truth and it can be true, but does it change my, is it a new heart? Look at verse 19. It says, we do well if we would take heed to the sure word of prophecy as a light that shines in a dark place. Does that light shine in the NFL? Yes. Where? It's in the heart of a player. Does it shine? Does the light shine at the factory, at the working shop, the workshop? Yes, it shines. But it shines in the heart of a believer. In good society, yes. But I don't think we're going to invite him anymore. Because he's like a light shining in a dark place. On the other hand, I need to meet him. Nicodemus said, I got to see Jesus. I'll go see him when nobody is watching me. I'll go at night. I'll see Jesus and talk to him. That happens to us too. Light is shining where? In Hollywood? No. In the heart of a Hollywood actor. Is he shining at the universe? No. is shining not at the university, but in the heart of a university professor, in the heart of a scientist. But science is denying in large numbers, yes, but not everybody. What kind of light is it? It's this light that fills heaven. That light that has come to Christ in Bethlehem. And they saw that light. And they saw the king, the star, the scepter. There he is. What are the three things that you see there? What's the three things you see there? Number one, I read it to you. Why is there humanity? God loves us. God loves us. Why do we exist? God cares about you. To the glory of God. We are living here for the glory of God. Why do I live and walk and move and have my being? To glorify God. Who can show me God? He can. He shows me there is no real purpose other than pleasing the Father, knowing the Father, walking with the Father, knowing the Father. That's the light to the world. That's not moral life. That's spiritual life. Right? Number two, what else do we see in that manger? Humility. No room for him in the inn. That's okay. I am here anyway. You don't have to honor me. I don't need a red carpet. I don't need newscasts. I don't need flowers or recognition. I don't need gold or silver. I don't need anything that this world has to offer. I am here as a servant. I am humble. I am God. And I can show you how humble I can be. I am. Who I am. I want to meet God. That's God. That's amazing. What does it mean? It says, we live in a dark world, but the day star arises in our hearts. Look at the verse, please, verse 19. It says, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. Did it shine in a dark place with Balaam? Yes. Did it shine in a dark place with Jesus in Bethlehem? Yes. Does it shine in a dark place in the NFL, the PGA, good society, the university, the scientist laboratory? Yes. Does it shine in a dark place until the day dawn? Would you see it in verse 19? Until the day dawn. What does that mean? Until the day dawn. Isn't that at the end of our Bible? When the day dawn, the eternal day, when there'll be no more night, that day dawn, when we go to heaven, there is no more night. Until the day dawn, what happens? The day star arises in your heart, doesn't it? Look at, and the day star. What is a day star? I understand it is the planet Venus. If you look in the morning, you can see a star there. In the morning, it depends how dark, how bright the sun is, but you can see Venus reflecting the sun. It's a planet, actually, but they call it like a day star. It's a star that you can even see in the day part of the daytime. It's a day star. The day star arises in your heart. That's Christ. How does this work? Well, I think you're doing it today. You and I are gathering in his name. And we have light that comes from heaven. What kind of light? It's the anointing. It's the Spirit. When you look at Jesus, you see here, you see God has purpose. I don't get it from the world. The dark world says, don't worry about it. Have a good time. Don't worry about it. Here's another drink. Don't worry about it. Here's another Friday night. Don't worry about it. Here's another vacation home. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. Oh, the hypocrisy of the world is incredible. Here, have another drink. Here, have another drink. And then when you're homeless under a bridge because you're an alcoholic, they throw you away. You fooled you. You fooled you. You are an alcoholic. You are a fool. Well, who made me an alcoholic? You did. You lied to me. You gave me something. But there was no depth to it, no reality. There was no light. It was just a game. Just a game. They play music as the Titanic is sinking. As the Titanic is sinking, which is the greater reality? The music on the deck, top deck, or the fact the ship is going down in a few minutes? What is happening here in this world? It is darkness. It is hypocrisy. It is emptiness. It is pride. It is arrogance. It is money. It is power. Let's go to Bethlehem. Wise people go there, and we see light. And then it comes into our hearts. It rises in our hearts. I have to feed it. I have to pay attention to it. I have to be guided by that light. The world is like, I think of a basketball player. He's on the court, you know. He's dribbling. There's a huge crowd. There's television, everything. There's millions of people watching. He is not thinking about them. He's got the ball. He's playing. He's just putting up his shot. And he's playing in the game. You have to be in this game called light. You have to ignore a lot of crap. You have to get beyond it. You have to live beyond your own soul. You have to be spirit-filled. You have to get rid of stuff and have the day star arise in your heart. And you copy the same one that's in that manger. You have purpose, and you have humility. And the third thing I want to say, he's very, very rich. He's full. He has great authority. He's very rich. He can draw from heaven. He can bring healing. He can draw and give. He can serve. He can die on the cross and say, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And I think those Roman soldiers, they could have, like, that's another picture. This Roman soldier rolling the dice, all he can think about is that thing, that piece of cloth, you know. I got the piece of cloth, you know. I got him taken home to my wife. I got the piece of cloth. At his head are the feet of the Messiah. At his head, right there, are the bleeding feet of the Messiah, who's very rich. He is very humble, and he has divine purpose. I'm rolling dice for a piece of cloth. That's all that I got in my mind. That's all I've got in my heart. I don't have anything else, but I'm taking this thing. This is a treasure for me. I got this. That's all that he's... This is a picture of how the world can be so wrong, and how you and I can be, by God's grace, without arrogance, and without any superiority in any way, but we can be right, righteous, wise, loving, humble, live for another world, another kingdom. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. I could call 10,000 angels, but you don't have any idea what is really going on. There is a city whose builder and maker is God, and it's coming here. And in that light, there is no darkness, no shadow. There is no emptiness, no lie, no hypocrisy. But in that reality is the reality that we are all made for and we're hungry for. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas season. Three things there. Now, lastly, we said this morning earlier, that when they bundled up the baby and they left to go to Egypt and they're gone and that manger is there, did they put hay in there for the donkey? Did they use the manger? Did they just keep using it? Of course they did. And if you went back there, would it be a holy place? Or is it over? Is it gone? He's gone. Have you ever gone back to revisit? Have you ever gone back to try to find? Have you ever gone back to try to get back what you lost? Have you ever gone back to find Jesus? Yeah, Jesus is leading you by that star in your life. That star, that spiritual light that dwells in you now because you are born again. And keep following him because it's not frozen. It's life. It's light. And I don't want to go back where God was. I want to be where God is. I want to be right where he wants me to be in the light and walk with him with what he is doing. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Jesus. Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you. Thank you. You're awesome. You've saved us. We are born again. You have spoken to our hearts. We've made good decisions. We have. We're not perfect. When we sin, we confess it. And the light of life, the light of life, the light of God, we will walk in the light. And we will grow in him. We are forgiven a lot. We're forgiven all the time. And we walk in the light. And we have hope. We have his riches and his humility. We have his love, purpose. Maybe somebody here has never accepted Christ. Come to Jesus today. Believe in Jesus and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart today and teach me and lead me. Anyone saying that prayer, raise your hand, please. Anybody at all? Raise your hand. Yes, to Jesus. Anybody? There's a hand in the back there. God bless you. There's another hand here. Thank you. Right there. Awesome. There's one. Beautiful. Awesome. Praise God.